This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 171. If it walks like a duck, it must be Chloe. Quack, 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 quack.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to another episode of our podcast. How are you?
What's up?
How's your family?
Are they still alive?
Everybody good?
Everybody accounted for? Do you need some topical cream?
Do you need some topical cream?
Yes.
What kind of...
Do you need some moist naps?
I have never been in a conversation where, after I've introduced myself, I've asked, "And are you in need of topical cream? Like, might I interest you in a little Neosporin?"
Do certain areas burn when they should just itch?
We're not going here. It's too early in the podcast. We're not going here.
Bad.
But where you should go and where we go fairly often is our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that are written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, but if you don't want to listen to just us, Esh, you can listen to some of our shows coming out of our camp.
That's right. We've got two other shows that are available through ESH Crew alum. You know, the dudes. They're doing it for themselves. We're so proud of them. So if you want to hear something kind of like Esh, but with a little, testosterone and more randomness and maybe sports and theater talk and, just topical shit.
Like cream?
No, not like cream. Then make sure that you check out Boston Bash Brigade, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck. Their shows air on Tuesday, so right after you listen to our show, the next day you can listen to their show. Keep the geeky goodness going, rolling strong.
But then what about Wednesday?
Well, Wednesday we got you hooked up too. Our very own Deuce is Wild does geek aggro. So right there, you're geeked out all the way to hump day.
Hump day.
Hump hump.
Sorry.
Thursday, we got none for you. You can just listen to Monday's episode again. It'll be good.
And again.
And again. Maybe one more time.
And then just your favorite parts.
Yeah. Your bits and bobbles. I shouldn't talk about your bits and bubbles.
Yes, please do not talk about my bits.
All right.
And I will not talk about your baubles, and it will be good.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
Awesome.
So make sure that you check them out. Geek Aggro, Boston Bass Brigade, Electric Sisterhood.
It sounds like you were about to forget our name there, sister.
I was not.
You were just like Electric something hood.
There's electricity in it. There's girls.
Then
I think there's electronics. I don't know.
Like, are there hoodies? No. Maybe there's like a neighborhood with some family members.
I don't know. There's like things, and then there's another thing, and then there's a person, and they're like, whoa.
That is a very great description of what we do here.
That's pretty much it. And then there's, for about an hour.
Or so.
No, it's not. But make sure that you check it all out. We've got it covered. And then if you want to keep up with us and, get to know a little bit more about what goes on in our zany, cranny little minds, then you can check us out on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/ninjasista.
And I'm twitter.com/ladyesh.
You can check out King Baby Duck at twitter.com/king_baby_duck. And you can check out Deuces Wild as well as twitter.com/deuceswild. Just like he spells it on the website. So don't have any comments or anything to talk about this particular week. We pulled through some stuff. We've been hard at work working on the calendar, which should be on sale shortly. So keep your eyes peeled on the website, guys, because we'll be putting that out. We'll also put it out on the website's Twitter account. So if you're not following our RSS feed, you can follow it through Twitter. Twitter's got everything.
Twitter is the fucking man.
Twitter, you know, you got Leo Laporte, you got Will Wheaton, you got Oprah. I mean, what else do you need? Guy Kawasaki's on Twitter. Rob Scholl's on Twitter.
I know what else they need on Twitter. We're on Twitter. Fucking Electric Sisterhood. That's who.
Well,
duh.
We're there. Twitter.com/ESH News. So make sure that you follow those guys as well, because then you can just get the stories that we put out on the website. The calendar news is going to be there. So if you want to know as soon as it's ready so you can buy it, or like 12, make sure you're following that Twitter account. That's all the business I have. So I guess we can just go ahead and jump like right into doing the show.
I'm ready to jump. I got my sneakers on.
Well, I don't have my shoes on yet. So why don't you go ahead and jump, and I'm going to go sit in the corner and put on my sunglasses. But I'm totally listening.
You should put on those really cute shoes you showed me the other day.
Oh, dude, I already have those on.
Oh, well, those are
just in case awesome. I haven't mentioned it before on the show, I'm kind of a gearhead.
No, really?
It's slightly, because I'm not obsessed about my shoes, but I love Converse shoes like crazy. And I have dinky feet.
Yes, she does. They are quite small.
Okay, and they're naturally small. No binding here, people.
I was totally about to say, the Chinese did not bind her feet.
My feet were not bound. I haven't cut off any toes. I just have very small feet. And so I can usually get just about any pair of Converse sneakers that I want. I got this great pair.
Don't you usually get them in kid sizes because your feet are so small?
Yes. Remind me to bitch slap you through the internet later.
Okay.
You're way too excited about that.
I am.
But the last pair that I got were pretty kick-ass, and because I'm trying to do my, what I'm calling, grown-up preppy look. I typically do it every fall so that way I can layer and I can put on scarves and, you know, not look like a douchebag.
I like scarves that don't make me look like a douchebag.
So the last pair of kicks that I bought were black on the outer lips and houndstooth. Sorry. Gray and red.
Sorry.
On the tongue.
Right.
You know what? You're the one who brought it up.
I'm not picturing shoes right now.
Screw you and your dirty mind. Talk to the people about video games, and okay. We'll talk on the side about my shoes later.
Alrighty.
Let's get some shoes.
So I guess this is going to feel slightly repetitive since last week's show. Ninja was talking about DJ Hero, and I had nothing to say about it because I was still waiting for my review unit. It has finally arrived, thank God, and I have jumped in full throttle into this game. And I mean, I'm not going to go too in depth because Ninja already did that. And an article will be coming out of this extensive playing of the panda.
Yeah? You promise?
Yes, I promise.
Hey, awesome.
So, I mean, you already got essentially all the breakdowns, but I have come to notice that while I'm playing this game, I mean, I really do get into it. I get into the music, I get into the vibe, and I've had to go and make myself a DJ name.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is
so, I mean,
it?
I had put
What's
it up
DJ
on
name? Girl, drop it.
So I had, let me finish my story first.
Drop it like you drop it the beat.
I put it up on Twitter.
Did you just I wanted
people to help me pick out my name. Because, I mean, if we actually go back to the way beginnings of Esh, I didn't even make up my handle for this show. Because I had no idea what I wanted to be called. So Ninja actually came up with the name that I am now called. Now.
I are clever, Ninja.
She is. Ninja is very smart. So, I mean, yes, once again, I went to somebody else in hopes that I would find it, you know, a decent name. And a lot of people gave me some really interesting ones, you know, like DJ Licious, you know, DJ Panda. But, I mean, that seemed a little too easy. Some of them were a little. Some of them were a little out there. Some of them didn't make much sense to me. But that's okay.
Did you were... P4 in the DDs.
P4ND4. So all the A's were fours. If you didn't, you know,
because you're late.
I am late.
Yeah,
but okay. You know, regardless. Finally, I did get one, and actually, I have to thank
this. Oh, one. Come on! You're killing me with the end.
The participation. All right, I gotta give some love out to Binary667. He actually helped me come up with his name.
Oh, and And
my name is drumroll
DJ
DJ Pandemic.
Oh,
now like, it's funny. Oh. Now here's the trick to the name though, because I'm sure you're thinking pandemic is, you know, like disease pandemic, and that's not the way that I'm spelling it.
The game. Company.
I spell it like Panda and Mike. Phonetically, it sounds like pandemic, and I'm infecting people with the tunes.
Oh!
So I was like, that is cool, and I liked it. So now, whenever I'm playing DJ Hero, do not call me Lady Ash, even though that's what it comes up as. I am DJ Pandemic. I will only answer to that. I've already played a couple of times with someone, and they were like, Lady Ash, you're really good. I'm like, no. It's DJ Pandemic. Thank you. You know, because I was only playing in easy, so it's not like I was doing a lot.
You're not really a pandemic as much as you're, you know, a minor nuisance.
I'm a... Shut up! Anyway, so you should already know going in that if a game gives you a difficulty less than easy, then there has to be a learning curve attached. Hello, learning curve.
Hello, beginner mode.
Nope, I didn't even do beginner. I jumped right into easy because
you,
I didn't
have
think...
you tried beginner mode?
No, I don't even know what it looks like.
Okay, so I'm going to just jump in and interrupt you just for a hard second because I finally saw beginner mode last night. I had a DJ Hero party and had some people over, and one of my guests put it on beginner to play it. And what beginner does is that it's the slowest highway you can imagine coming at you, and there are bars where you can hit any of the buttons as far as the tap goes, and you can't mess up. Or you can hit all of them, and you don't mess up. Then there are areas where you have to scratch, and you can hold down any button and scratch for as little or as long as you like.
Are you serious?
I shit you not.
What?
Yes.
There's no point to that.
I know, you might as well just have it. Do party
you
play
just have
and move
it
on.
For you.
Exactly. You should just put it in party play and go about your business.
Wow.
But after about like 30 seconds into the song, she's like, you know what? I could step it up a little bit from this because this is like way too easy.
Well, it is beginner for a reason.
So it was really nice that it was in there, and I see that as the mode to make people be like, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm not this new. I can do this, and actually make them feel better about charging in and trying to do it, because there is a huge learning curve. Please continue. I'm going back to the corner.
Hello, learning curve. My name is DJ Pandemic. So if you haven't already figured it out, you use a turntable to play this game. You have to scratch, you have to mix, you've got a crossfade, and you got your euphoria button.
Euphoria!
And Euphoria is fucking awesome. And you also get a rewind option. Obviously, playing in easy mode, you actually don't do a lot with your crossfade.
Mm-mm.
You don't have to do spikes. So essentially, all you're doing is scratching.
And tapping.
Tapping. And possibly, do you get directionals in easy? Like when you just have to go up or down? Or is that...
No, that's only...
Okay. Because I still have like two more set lists to complete. So I didn't know if they were going to do anything like that.
Nope.
So I mean... Easy is you think easy is fairly easy, and sometimes it's not, because, you know, there might be a time where you're scratching on the blue line and you've got to scratch right after on the green line, and if you miss up just a minute, there goes your 231 count record. Trust me, I've had this happen, and it sucks, because when you're feeling the flow and then you fuck it up, you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, did you fuck up your own flow? That's bad.
I have fucked my own flow, and it wants to file for, you know, like a court date. It's so upset. My flow was raped, and it's now finally...
Your flow wants to file a harassment suit.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the songs, you know, their choices of collaborations, their mashups are actually really good. My only concern thus far is if I hear I Want You Back by the fucking Jackson 5 one more time.
I skip those mixes.
I'm gonna go apeshit. Don't get me wrong, I mixes. Like the song. Mm-hmm. And Eschbaum thoroughly enjoyed the first few set lists because she's like, oh my god, I know this song. And I'm like, do you want to try? And she's like, no.
She could do beginner.
She probably could. Now that I know what beginner is. But I mean, needless to say, you know, there are some songs that they kind of use as like bass DJ filler. You know, and I would think, you know, this game had so much hype and they had so many songs they could have mashed up. You know, and I don't even care if it's Jackson 5 stuff, but they could use more than I Want You Back. Like,
yeah,
hello?
But I Want You Back is kind of the staple that can be mixed with so many different things because of its tempo.
I think so. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the first, like, what? The first five set lists, there's one song mixed, you know, with that song in those first five. And, like, after a while, I didn't see anymore, so I was like, okay. And then it came back.
Well, are a few songs that are mashed up multiple times. Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani is mashed up a few times.
Yeah. Disturbia by Rihanna, I've heard twice already.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, once or twice
is President.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, one or two mashups, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but I Want You Back really mixed up twice.
Are you sure? Then maybe they're interjecting the same songs over and over again.
In a couple of the set lists, the songs do repeat themselves.
And that might be why I'm hearing it all the time, because I'm like, if I hear this song one more fucking time, I'm going to punch something in the face. The first thing that comes up to me, bam, right in the face.
Oh, like, here we go again. You with things and facial violence.
It gets my point across.
Obviously.
It's a lot of fun. Like, I really do enjoy it. I definitely do see this as a type of, you know, it is meant to be like a party game.
Yeah, I Want You Back is only mixed, by the way, with two songs. There's one with Just to Get a Rep by Gangstar, and then there's Semi-Charmed Life.
Yeah, okay, then they've just showed up in different set lists for me. Mm-hmm. And it's me mad. But I mean, it's even really funny because we've played a couple times, me and Ninja, on Xbox Live. You know, and obviously you both have to play on the same difficulty, I think, when you do that.
Yes, you can't play on different difficulties.
So, you know, you can't pussy out.
Nope.
Which really
you gotta step up to the plate.
And I did, and I totally stumbled.
Hey, I didn't put it on, I didn't throw you into the deep end, just throw it on hard.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
For being so considerate for my
fucking. Hey, you know what? I'm a giver.
I bet you are.
Shut up.
Anyway, but I mean, it was actually really funny because as we were sitting there playing through this, like, even though it was competitive, I didn't feel like it was competitive at all. You know what I mean? Like, playing through, like, with Guitar Hero or, you know, Band Hero, where I'm like, man, I totally want to, you know, beat the pants off of Ninja. Like, granted, I knew I wasn't going to beat you. Indeed, because not to mention you had a demo kit way before I got mine, and you also, you know, you've been playing it longer than me, but I didn't feel like the sense that, like, oh man, it's these DJs fighting over, you know, the crowd. I felt like we were actually, you know, working more together than against each other.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I would agree with about the multiplayer. Even though it is a score battle, you don't feel like you're battling. You know, like in the Guitar Hero battles, you know, you could throw inhibitors on the other person's track, and so I don't really feel like a negative competition in the score battle at all. It felt
more like a mashup of a mashup than a, you know, a competitive edge, which I mean I'm sure once I've, you know, excelled into hard and expert that we'll be playing at that level, and who knows, I might start getting that tinge. But I mean, I have a strange feeling that may or may not happen, because I mean, usually even at a lower level of difficulty, I would still feel that edge, and I didn't feel that here, and I really kind of liked that. So I mean, I was like, good job on Activision this time around, you know, with eliminating that aspect in this game. They've just made it enjoyable for everyone. Even if you lose, you're still like, that was still awesome. I'm still feeling good about myself. Mm-hmm. I think I might take a walk. Now I'll sit down, but I thought about taking a walk, and that was a positive step in the direction, you know, so that's what it's been like. I'm almost done with my set list, which is really good. I do plan to, you know, play this up until about, you know, medium to hard range, which is essentially where my cap was in Guitar Hero and Rock Band anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you've got it and you want to, you know, if you don't mind knocking it down to medium so that I don't feel like such a fucktard when we play, then, you know, hit me up, Lady Esh, up on Xbox, and I would totally like to play with you. Like, all of you. Let's mesh up. Let's do some co-mingling, you know what I'm saying?
You know? DJ Pandemic wants to co-mingle. Yeah.
I want to co-mingle, bitches. Konnichiwa. So outside of the gaming spectrum, I went to go see a movie this weekend thanks to the bastards over at B3. Thank you guys so much for making a sad panda not such a sad panda.
We told you they were lovable bastards.
Oh my god, I love them all to death. Well, not all of them. That's a lot of bastards to love. and I don't have that much.
You can't take on all comers.
No, that's a lot of, you know. I stopped myself.
Yeah, I did.
Came out really wrong.
Not so much that I saw as much as I didn't hear. I'm very proud of you.
But they went and they took me to go see over at the IMAX. I got to go see A Christmas Carol.
Really?
In 3D. Yep. I got to go because one of the bastards got hurt or was having lots of sex.
Bastard down.
And I think he got hurt while having some sex, so we'll chalk it up to somewhere in the middle.
Inexperience.
No. I just think he should have French fried Winnie. and he got a bad cramp.
And then his leg fell
off and aliens raped his butt. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, bastards.
I hate it when the aliens rape my butt.
But
don't even take me out to dinner. That's the thing that really breaks me off. But anyway, you were saying.
Anyway, so
way too many tangents here about sex. Let's move on.
So we go, and this is my first 3D movie at the IMAX ever. I know I've been living
under 3D IMAX.
Yes, 3D IMAX. Mm. So this was my first experience, and I was very excited. You know, and I had the really crappy glasses on. I'm with the bastards. I was well hydrated. And the movie began.
Why did you need to be hydrated?
I had a soda.
I'm saying, oh, okay.
All they got right. me, I'm they saying, kept me, they, a, they made okay. Panda very comfortable.
Okay.
So, I mean, I have the glasses on, the movie starts, and it was weird. Like, I got these weird tingles in my body. And,
are you sure you saw Christmas Carol in 3D?
I did. No, but I was just going to say that, you know,
because Jim Carrey's performances are never really that moving.
I mean, my stomach was just moving. And I don't know if people have ever experienced this or not, but I mean, I felt very disoriented.
It's because of your glasses.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were a couple times where I went and I took them off, you know, thinking that I could just watch the movie without the glasses.
No.
And it made it even worse because everything's like tripled. You know, so, like, words, there are triple letters in all the words. So, like, the had two, like, three T's, three H's, and three E's. And I'm like, what the hell? My eyes were, like, being raped. My senses were being raped. My butt was jiggling because of the butt kickers in the seats. Like, if you walk in and your glasses somehow break, you're going to be in a world of fuck upside down with, like, your toes being tickled by midgets. Like, it's so unsettling.
That's a hell of a visual.
Like, it is. It's disorienting. And I mean, I'm probably not the only person who's ever been disoriented while watching this movie. But it was extremely unpleasant. Not to mention, my stomach kept turning. Like, I thought at one point I was going to get ill, which would have been really bad because two of those bastards would have gotten coated. And, you know, I feel kind of bad about that, you know. But I mean, obviously I didn't get sick. But I mean, I did kind of feel like something could have come out of, you know, Mount Panda, if you know what I mean. But I mean, let me get to the actual movie. So I mean, that was just my physical experience at the movie. So I mean, we all know that Jim Carrey is famous for doing multiple impersonations, being multiple people in movies. He kind of does it better than Eddie Murphy does, in my opinion. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has that.
When was he multiple people in a movie? Because me, myself, and Irene doesn't count.
Really? You don't think so?
No. He's the same guy that was schizophrenic.
Well, then fine. Yeah, all right, fine. So, I mean, he's able to do multiple personalities.
Oh, he's a great mimic.
The master. He's the master of creating, you know, another personality, like acting and, you know, just impressions. He's great at impressions changing character and changing direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I saw the Polar Express with Tom Hanks.
Oh, God.
As Tom Hanks.
Oh, God. As Santa Hanks.
Exactly. And, I mean, it's actually really interesting because I actually bought that movie because I liked the book. But my movie is still in its shrink wrap because I refused to open it because I felt Tom Hanks would fall out. So at first going to this movie, I was actually really concerned that it would be Jim Carrey as Jim Carrey as Jim Carrey
as Scrooge Carrey.
And with some carry on top of a carry tree.
With a side of
Carrie. Exactly. But believe it or not, Carrie did a phenomenal job.
I mean, I choose not to believe it.
No. Well, all right, then fine. Then don't. I was very surprised. You know, like, each of the characters that he portrayed that was different from Scrooge definitely was different. It was beautiful. And, I mean, they really, they kind of honed in on a good essence of, you know, Charles Dickens, you know, classic here. You know, Jim Carrey as Scrooge was very Scrooge-like, was very stingy, was very cold, was very against everything and everyone. And at one point, you know, like, I mean, I think they took actual, like, dialogue from the book and put it in this movie, really, during a particular scene where, you know, I'm not going to be spoiling A Christmas Carol because
all you fuckers have read the fucking book.
So I'm not spoiling anything for you. And if you haven't, then you need to. Whatever. I don't feel like I'm spoiling anything because we've all watched a movie. We all have done it. So whatever, don't judge me. Here we go. So when Scrooge is talking to the two guys who come in for charities, you know, to try to, you know, get money for the poor so that they can have some food, some drink, and, like, some warmth this holiday season, like, Scrooge, in no uncertain terms, is like, aren't the workhouses open? Aren't prisons working? Aren't, you know, insane asylums, you know, in need of crazy people? Well, yes. Well, then I support all those institutions. And, like, you know, people would rather, you know, die than go there. And he's like, well, then they should, to decrease the surplus population. Like, it was cold. And I was like, ow, Scrooge, what the fuck?
Have you not seen every other Christmas Carol that's come really before?
And I don't know if it was because it was animation, but, I mean, it really kind of stuck to me. And I was like, wow, this is, you know, I mean, I did like Michael Caine's, you know, version of Scrooge from A Muppet Christmas Carol. I mean,
okay, first of all, anything with Muppets wins.
Anything with Michael Caine wins.
Well, yes. Michael Caine
plus Muppets, epic fucking win.
Yes. We are in joint agreement of that.
Regardless. So, I mean, it was just visually stunning. I mean, they really did go out of their way. Colin Firth is in there, and God, do I love that man's voice. I could listen to Colin Firth talk all fucking day. Cary Ives was in there, but he was a very minor character. I actually thought they were going to give him a much bigger role. But, I mean, how can you come back from As You Wish? I mean, how can you come back from The Princess Bride if you're not going to tumble down a hillside and
kill... You mean Cary Ilves?
Yeah, that guy. I always say his last name wrong. Regardless, he was in that movie, but he was a very, like, minute character. You know, because you know Jim Carrey had to play all the pivotal roles. Yes. And it's really weird because they mark Carrie down for playing the ghost of the future, the Christmas future.
Mm-hmm.
But the fucker never speaks. Because, you know, in the original, he didn't really speak either. He was just kind of a dark, ominous, you know.
Grim Reaper.
Yeah, exactly. And believe it or not, in 3D.
You know, for the black and white movie.
Yeah.
That is still the best Christmas Carol ever, period.
I mean... That the whole interaction between, you know, all three of the ghosts were, you know, very well done. I mean, believe it or not, the ghost of Christmas, you know, to come was very scary. Like, he was essentially just Scrooge's shadow. Like, after the ghost of present dies, because he actually dies. I don't know if it's actually depicted in the story or not, but the way that they did it in this movie, you know, after the present had shown Scrooge everything that was going on around him that he was unaware of, they're inside of this giant, like, clock tower. And, you know, if you remember the original depiction of Christmas Present was this huge, huge man with, like, this flowing red hair, kind of like a Viking,
mm-hmm.
you know, very merry,
quite jolly,
big guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's looking up at a clock, and it's about midnight, and he's like, my time here is almost done. And his beard starts to turn white, like, not instantly, but gradually. So every time you keep seeing him in shots, he's growing older, you know, and underneath his robe, there are these two, like, children mutated things. And one's supposed to represent human ignorance, and one's supposed to represent want.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them grow up, and they start quoting things that Scrooge has said in the present. And all of a sudden, the Christmas present ghost is looking really old. And he falls, you know, because he's kind of a, you know, he laughs throughout most of his speeches. And he falls to the ground, and he starts laughing. And then, you know, he's starting to wither away. And then you see only bones. And then you see, like, a laughing skeleton. And he's still laughing until his eyes, like, sink in. So it's very metaphorical, like, holy fuck, the present is now no longer the present, and now we're in the future, and this is, I mean, they did that very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, going back to the ghost of future, I mean, you already knew that he was already going to be a very ominous figure, you know, so he appears as Scrooge's shadow. So at first you're thinking, okay, he's just a shadow on the ground, he's just going to point to stuff, and that's going to be really creepy. So, you know, remind you, be aware, Panda is in a 3D IMAX theater. She's staring up at a screen, and you see a dark, ominous, you know, Reaper shadow on a floor, you know, and Scrooge is looking down at it, and Scrooge is too scared to look behind him because he thinks, because of the shadow, that the actual figure is behind him.
Okay. Now, mind
you, it's 3D. So I'm like, oh man, he's got to turn around because he's probably behind him. You know, and I'm sitting there and I'm sipping my soda, and for about 4 seconds, you're just staring down at the ground where Scrooge is staring at the shadow. And all of a sudden, hands jut out and it moves forward. So, like, the actual shadow was. So, I mean, I yelp. I off my soda. I'm fucking 25 years old and I can't even go to a fucking kids movie because anything black that jumps out at me scares the proverbial fuck out of me.
I'm not saying a word at this point. I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Needless to say. You know, so he starts showing, you know, Scrooge all these things, you know, and he randomly will point a finger out and, you know, you're like, holy fuck, this black hand is at me. Holy fuck, this really black ominous thing is, like, torturing my soul. I'm freaking out. I mean, I was freaking the fuck out, you know, and there were kids behind me laughing and I'm like, man, I'm like, I am such a vagina. I'm like, you know, I am. I seriously am. And the B3 guys were kind of chuckling at it because I was very jumpy. I am a jumpy person. Don't go to a movie with me that's, you know, has things jumping out because I will scream like a wussy girl because that's in fact what I am. Regardless, if you don't know the story, he amends his ways. He buys a giant chicken. There's some dancing in the street. He feels, you know, he doesn't want to die. So the only reason why he did all this really good stuff is to keep him from dying in the future. Though we all know, if you know how old he was probably going to die anyway. So it really doesn't
Wait, time out. He does all this stuff not because he doesn't want to die, but he does all this stuff because he realizes that when he dies, he doesn't want to end up like his buddy, shackled in chains because he was such a bastard. And he didn't really want to be a bastard anymore because the reason why he was a bastard made no sense and realized that it's better to give than to receive. You can't take it with
blah, blah, blah. I mean, I guess that's probably one of the downfalls in this movie because if you're not paying attention to a lot of the dialogue and you just go by action and sequence, it's like, oh man, all this horrible stuff happened. Man, since I didn't give Bob Cratchit that money, Tiny Tim gets sick and he dies. Well, I don't want him to die. I mean, I did say that, you know, if people couldn't afford to live, that they should just die. But I didn't mean it. You know, and then when he finally sees his dead body and sees that no one went to go to his funeral, because no one does, you know, in this, I don't think they did in the original either. I don't think they showed a funeral in the original depiction of it anyway. But when he sees it, he's like, oh no, please don't tell me that this is me. Please don't tell me that this is me. You know, and obviously the ghost doesn't fucking talk because he's a badass and he doesn't need to speak, much like Link, but scarier and makes Panda scream in fear. But it seemed like at one point, even though we know that what his real reasons were, because he didn't, you know, there wasn't a giant monologue, you know, saying, "Oh my God, I've seen the ways, and I want to do good, and I don't want things to end this way." I mean, they kind of make it sound like, "Well, I don't want Tiny Tim to die, and I don't want people to not go to my funeral when I die. So if I can correct anything that I've done wrong, then give me that inclination spirit. Let me know that I can change." And then when he wakes up, he's like, "Well, shit, I'm here, and I'm gonna change. Hey, boy, go get a really big chicken. Hey, I'm gonna go see my nephew. Hey, you people singing, I'm gonna sing with you. Yeah, 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 yeah." And that's, you know, the end of that.
He turns into Howard Dean.
Essentially. Regardless.
We're gonna live a great life. I found the secret. Yeah!
Is it a good holiday movie? Yes. Would I, if I had kids, sit them down in front of a giant screen with, you know, great bows, you know, speakers pumping? No. Because could it potentially scare
obviously it didn't scare the children. It just scared you.
What? Well, see, if I had kids, they'd be genetically disposed to being giant vaginas. So would I put my kid? No. Hell, I would probably buy this DVD and make them sit with my husband. I'd make the husband watch it with them because I couldn't watch this again. In 3D. I could not watch this again in 3D because I would still jump and I would probably have an accident. With soda. Let me clarify that.
Oh, no.
I would probably spill my soda.
Too late. Done. Nope.
If you want to see a good Christmas movie without the 3D experience, see The Christmas Carol without 3D. It's still going to be really good. If you want your stomach to turn, and if you want to wonder, if you want to go through a movie and come out going, "Why the hell did Pandalicious jump like a coward?" then go see this in 3D. Go right ahead. I dare you to eat all this food and go and see if your stomach doesn't turn. Not because of the badness of the movie, but because of the 3D effects. Otherwise, I am done. Here is the mic. I'm grabbing a snack.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
For sharing.
Welcome.
So, I've got a quick little DJ Hero follow-up to Panda's follow-up, because
a follow-up. Isn't that a rebuttal of a rebuttal?
No, it's not a rebuttal of a rebuttal, because I'm not rebuking anything that you said.
Okay.
I'm merely amending to the statement.
Awesome.
Through DJ Hero Party, I mostly wanted to see what the multiplayer would be like and how people would react to the game that, you know, weren't necessarily hardcore gamers or necessarily into music sim games. Because I know I'm kind of jaded. I enjoy them tremendously. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to me to see how people reacted to it. Everyone that I had over was about my age, a little bit younger. So between you and I, absolutely love the music. We spent more time talking about this song being mixed with this song, and oh my God, I couldn't even imagine putting this song with this song, but it sounds great, and I wonder where I can get that, because this is, you know, just a really wonderful mix. And, you know, do they have any mixes with this DJ or with this DJ? Do you think that might be something that's coming? You know, now I'm going to have to put money aside because I'm going to have to pick this thing up. And it was really interesting to me that they were more interested in just listening to those mashups than necessarily playing the game, because the learning curve is really, really hectic. Okay, one of the people that was over is a musician, and one of the guys that was over is a former wedding DJ, and, you know, in his spare time when he had a moment or two, was a hobby turntablist. And the musician and the turntablist had more difficulty playing the game than anybody else.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, which was really funny, you know. My boy was like, "Dude, there's no cue points. There's no slip mat. This is, like, so different." And he's like, "It's not even, like, really real." And I'm like, "It's a video game. It's not real." You know, but still had a lot of fun, you know, working the turntable and the crossfade, and everyone was giving everybody else pointers. Well, this worked for me, and this worked for me, and, you know, you might want to try it this way because this worked for me. And so that was a really interesting experience. I think that it's the most conversation that's been sparked around any game night that I've had at my place. So that was really interesting. And I definitely, definitely give Activision a high five for that.
High five!
So moving on. Ow, that sounded like it hurt.
That was a high five of maximum awesomeness.
Wow. Okay. So, I have been addicted to a new game.
Oh?
Yes.
Does it involve ponies?
No.
How about action-packed sequences, really hot guys, and a chick with a gun?
Yes. Are you reading my mind again? Get out of my head!
Does it have really witty humor and a camera guy?
Get out of my head. You're freaking me out, man. Oh my god,
does it sound like Mamarded 2?
Oh.
Oh my god, I know what it is. Ooh, pick me. Pick me. It's Uncharted 2. You're playing Uncharted 2 on the PS3.
Yeah, I am.
And?
So I absolutely love this game. I absolutely love it. I wasn't really sure that I was going to pick it up, but after how you talked about it on the podcast last week, I thought, well, you know, I ought to check it out at least a little bit. So I went over and I got the multiplayer demo on my PS3 and jumped in. And, you know, I'm not really very good at that kind of shooter. Like, I am the last person that you should pick if you're doing multiplayer anything for, like, Halo or third-party shooters if you want to be competitive. If you just want to shoot some shit and have some fun and giggle, I'm recruit me. I'll pick me first. But if you're, like, trying to get an achievement and you're just, you know, one headshot away, I am not the chick to finish the job for you. Okay? So I wasn't really very impressed with the multiplayer because it pretty much was just a capture the flag type deal, and I had no idea what the control scheme was, and so
you had to pick up the treasure and put the treasure into a box.
Dude, I kept dropping grenades.
It's Gold Rush.
I kept dropping grenades on myself.
Ow.
Yeah. Because I couldn't figure out how to change the arc. So I just kept dropping them because I kept hitting the triangle button. Because right. I didn't know that I had to pick the L1 button. So I just kept dropping them at my feet and blowing myself up.
Who did you end up playing the most? Because I don't think you actually get an option as to who you spawn as.
You don't, but I was Drake.
Okay. Because I've noticed through watching and playing a little bit of my own through a friend who's got a PS3, that Chloe, the really hot Australian-ish sounding lady from the game, walks like a duck. Like, she waddles.
Like a duck.
She waddles because her ass is too big. Her ass too big. So whenever I see her walking around, I'm always like, quack, 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 quack.
No, I haven't really spawned as Chloe.
So when my friends played, and is Chloe, I'm always like, quack. Quack, 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 quack. And he's like, stop. And I'm like, I can't because you're waddling. I'm like, put her on a pond. Let's see if she floats.
Oh, my Jesus. That is funny. So I sucked it up and ran down to GameStop. And I thought, well, if I'm really going to give this game a shot, I'm just going to have to buy it and see if I like it. And if I don't, then I'll just take it back and I'll get something else. Pop the game out. Finally took Need for Speed out of my PS3, so, you know, my PS3 could slow down a little bit. Popped in Uncharted, and I sat there for a couple of minutes. Well, let me not exaggerate. I sat there for like 45 seconds. I'm like, oh, there's no cutscene to start off the movie? Oh, okay. I'll just hit the start button. And I thought it was a little bit odd. I'm going to warn you now. I'm going to spoil a bunch of shit about this game if you haven't finished it. So if you haven't finished it,
if you have a PS3, then you should not listen to this. Buy it and play it. And if you don't plan on getting a PS3, then it won't bother you to listen to it because you're probably not going to play it.
And if you don't care about spoilers, I like you. You're my type of person.
And mine too.
Information is power. So the game basically, it starts off with you on a train waking up.
I'm on a train and it's over a cliff and I gotta get the hell out or I'm gonna die again.
You're Sorry. Very clever and funny today.
I am.
You're God, hilarious. You're simply en fuego. So, first thing, gorgeous. Game effing gorgeous. Nobody can say that it's not. I don't care if you are a Wii fanboy or Xbox fanboy. I don't care.
My hat is off to you, Sony.
Naughty Dog, you did a great, great,
good job, Naughty
great,
Dog. Good job.
Great.
Here's a biscuit. Here's a biscuit.
You want your belly scratched? Scratch your belly.
I will scratch Naughty belly. Dog's belly.
So, like after this. I got past the gorgeous piece, I love how the game mechanics work. So everything is done as though you're really watching a story unfold. And as you guys know, one of my biggest things about video games is that I've been asking for a great plot to drive a game.
Did you get one? Did you get one? Did you get one? Did you get one? Did you get one?
It's not great, but it's really good.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll clarify in that it's not great because it's not anything that hasn't been done before. It's not like a completely new take on robbing ruins.
Mm-hmm.
Tomb Raider. Been there, done that. Okay? But the mechanics and how the story drives forward is a little bit different than things that I've played before. And the character development is definitely much more rich than games that I've played before. So the lead character, a guy named Drake, wakes up in this train and he's holding a side, as Panda has said, mm-hmm. and he's bleeding. And you're like, I gotta get out of this train. I will preface this with, because of what Panda said, it only took me one time to get out of the train. But what I will say is, and here's one of the deep spoilers, is this is not the only time you're going to have to get out of that train.
Nope.
That was some bullshit. So you're bleeding, and you're actually slowed down and impaired by the damage that's done to your body. So you don't just walk spryly around because you're bleeding out the side of your body. So you do kind of hobble and slow down and stumble, and you're not directly controlled as accurate with moving in the thumbstick, which I like. And the story reveals itself that there's a relic and there are bad guys. And like Panda said, turn out to be Nazis.
Yep.
There's always Nazis. Whenever it comes to getting relics or raiding ruins, there's always Nazis involved somehow.
Somehow.
Sigh.
Goddamn Nazis.
Nazis!
Nazis ruined my hot chocolate.
So you get off the train, you're in the Himalayas, you're bleeding, you pass out. Then you have a flashback to a few months before. So basically get that flash or starter movie, intro movie that I was expecting before the start button happens in-game. And this is how all of your segments segue into each other. So there's no definitive, oh, you've cleared this level, and here's all the things that you got, and now we'll load the next level. Load screen. Mm-mm. Everything blends into the other chapter. So there's no hard break, ever. Unless you die at a point where they have to reload the entire level, and that's where you'll see the load screen. And it's just a black screen with a little dagger relic that starts all of the madness. So in the flashback, we're brought back and Drake is approached by, I'm guessing, an old friend of his named Flynn.
Flynn sucks balls!
Flynn is a bastard and I can't wait to kill him because I know I have to be able to kill him because there'd be no justice in this game if you don't get to kill Flynn. Told you I was going to spoil it. So there's basically some dude, he's looking for this thing. Marco Polo found it. he's paying big money if they can break into this Moroccan museum that has it and get it. So they do, and then Drake figures out, hey, there's more to this than meets the eye. It's like a transformer, but it's not, just a puzzle.
National Treasure meets Marco Polo meets...
Dude, it's totally National Treasure, but not without with Nicolas Cage. What I like about the mechanics is that stealth is appreciated, but isn't a necessity. So you know how in some games where you're doing third-person action stuff, they're either all stealth, which means you can't get through a level unless you take everybody out stealthily.
Batman Arkham Asylum.
Thank you. Or they're all just action and you go in basically with guns blazing and hope you take out the right people so you can clear the level.
Gears 2.
Thank you. This is definitely a more harmonious balance between those two plays. So a lot of times you will be in a level and you'll be presented with the entire board, basically, and you'll see where all the enemy guys are. Some of them are facing you, some are facing away, and you have to figure out how to get around this level and clear all those guys out so your companion, whether that's the third wheel in your thievery bunch, Chloe, or one of the many other characters that you end up being paired up with and going to a level. Don't cast aspersions upon her pixelated self.
When you first meet Chloe, she's all like, fuck Flynn, I want your cock. And you're like, what are we going to do about Flynn? I don't fucking care. I want you. We'll get what we need to get and we'll go. And then at the very end, when he finally decides to go with the blonde bitch, who you're going to mention in a couple of minutes, so I'm not going to tell you her name, but, you know, Chloe was like, oh, okay, well, don't tell me you won't miss this ass. Because they gave her such a huge ass! Quack, 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 quack. I'm done.
Y'all set? Sorry. Y'all done now? All right. You realize you just spoiled my spoiler, right?
Oh.
It's all right. Shit. It's cool. It happens.
Delicious, struck again.
We need to really make that a song. You get into going through different levels and dropping in and doing stealth takedowns or just literally
lighting them bitches up.
Really, like, set it off just going, okay, I'm gonna fire everywhere and hopefully a bullet will hit somebody. While you don't have infinite ammo, pretty much if you play on anything underneath the medium difficulty, there's guns aplenty all over the place and always full of...
Isn't it neat? Guns and ammunition to make my life complete.
It took me a little while to get used to trying to do the stealth takedowns just because I'm an aggressive player and I don't particularly like stealth missions. I prefer being able to just kind of go up and shoot people in the face.
I like to shoot them in the balls.
You would. But I find that depending upon how I do stealth takedowns in this game, it's very easy for me to balance taking one particular person down stealthily, but then going up to the next one, just capping them in the face because there's nobody around to blow the whistle on me.
Or the balls.
Yeah, or the balls, because there is a slide tackle where you do end up punching dudes in the balls and they just kind of pass out on the ground.
I love doing it in real life. Guys make funny faces.
Don't punch dudes into balls. If you explode their balls, they'll never have children.
Half of them don't want them anyway.
You're so mean. There are, like I said, there are lots of different weapons. As you progress through the game, the story starts revealing itself that this guy is after this relic. You assume that it's because he's after a big diamond or money payoff. Turns out he's trying to find Shambhala. You still think it's because of this big-ass sapphire. So you realize...
Life-giving sapphire, which isn't actually a sapphire.
Spoilerlicious, rears her nasty head again.
Sorry! I'll be quiet now.
So, you're going through and realize that you're not actually after this sapphire. Flynn double-crosses you, so you get locked up in a Moroccan prison for a while and end up doing hand puppetry, replaying how you wound up in the prison with Flynn double-crossing you and things like that. And then you get let out. You team back up with Chloe, who's doing a very good job of playing double agent.
Double agent slut. Double agent slut.
Because, very much like National Treasure, Drake is the guy that's smart enough to figure out what all the relics mean and what all the clues are and puts them together. The writing is very good. It's very witty. And the character acting is some of the best character acting that I've seen in an action type game in a long time. Okay, while Chloe is a little bit loose, and slut. She does
whore.
Have a big...
Whore. Whore.
Are you done?
Lazy whore.
Are you done now?
Big ass.
All right, stop hating. Okay, because while she is a...
Whore.
Well, she's not a whore, but she definitely likes to have the sex.
Drake's makes, nuts.
Okay, you are so bad. But what I like about her character, and what I like about the other female character in the game, Elena, is that they're both good-looking, but they're both smart,
hot
and they
perfection.
Both have character, and neither one of them are naked or in shorts.
Yay! Women wearing clothes! Wait.
Yeah. I mean, they've got on V-necks, but still, well, Elena has a button-up. But they're still dressed, kicking ass, taking names, saying smart things. I mean, because even when Chloe, you know, kind of outs herself a little bit for using her body to get around some places, she doesn't come off as just being TNA for TNA alone.
She's TNA for the betterment of treasure hunting.
Yes. Yes, she is. As you progress through, you start realizing what actually is in Shambhala that the bad guy, Lazarevic, is after. Because you realize it's not about money. Along the way, a couple people die.
No, really?
Yeah, I wasn't really all that sad about them dying. But the thing that surprises me is, you know, you talked about being jumpy during the 3D movie. I get jumpy as I'm going through some of these levels because there are a lot of frustrating parts, okay? So while I say I love this game, there are some areas where it's really frustrating because it's difficult to realize where you're supposed to go. Because Nathan Drake climbs everything. He doesn't get anywhere without climbing there. He's like, oh, I need to go up these stairs. Why don't I climb this wall over here, up this building, and then I'll drop down 5 floors. You're like, dude, there's 3 steps right there. Can't you just take the 3 steps? No, we gotta climb the building.
Have you not noticed throughout your gameplay of this story, Ninja, that Murphy's Law really does apply? Because anything that can go wrong does.
Everything goes wrong for this guy. He walks around a corner, ice falls, blocks him in. So now you gotta climb up the damn ice mountain. You get up the ice mountain to get to the other side to go back to your little guide through the Himalayas, and the Yeti show up. And it is so ridiculously hard to kill a Yeti. It's, well,
oh,
ridiculous.
That's not a Yeti. I don't know what you're talking about, and that's not a Yeti.
Are you done?
Sorry.
Again, spoilerlicious. Toasted. So, it's ridiculously difficult to kill those things, but you finally do scare it off, you get
yes,
out of there.
You don't kill it.
By the way, your guy doesn't speak a word of English, but Nathan keeps talking to him the entire time. He's like, I don't even know why I'm doing this, because you don't understand a word I'm saying, but I feel comforted by this, so I'm going to keep talking to you. Okay, Tenten?
Toshan?
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, Tenten. Tenzin. Tenzin.
Tenzin.
Tenzin. There you go. That's what it is. So you get through all of that, you get to the point where you gotta do the train mission. I'm gonna tell you right now, the train missions suck.
Oh, the ones where you have to, like, be on one side and then be on another side and not get hit by the thing.
Yes.
And kill people. And then the helicopter.
The helicopters suck. So if you played the Ninja Gaiden games at all, you know when you had that mission where you had to fight the helicopter? And you had to fight the helicopter with a bow and arrow? And you're like, there's no way I'm taking this helicopter out with a bow and arrow. But sure enough, you end up taking out the driver with the pilot with the damn bow and arrow. So you end up having to fight similar fighting helicopters like those ones, except they use missiles, and they're very accurate with those missiles. I must have died about 15 times trying to get past the train mission. It took forever. And then, of course, at the end of the train mission, you wind up where you were when you started the game, and you gotta climb out of the train yet again. And there are timers, so if you spend too long, you will fall. The train falls, you die, you gotta start again.
Yeah, I know.
Frustrating. So you get through all of this, you find the temple, you got the key, you move the statue, so you go down, find out where Shambhala is. Flynn shows up and takes the bitch, Chloe, shoots the dude. Then the Lazarevic guy comes in and is like, you're a little pipsqueak. I really don't like you. You suck. Let's kill everybody. You and Elena, the blonde chick, who is a
reporter who's in the first game.
Thank you. Then you're paired up with her to try and get to the train to get Chloe. Chloe's like, don't save me. You're like, son of a bitch. Then you're in the Himalayas, and then you're not in the Himalayas. You're like, I'm going to find Shambhala. Well, you get to Shambhala. It's not necessarily a big-ass sapphire. What it is...
Tree sap!
A life-giving, all-power-endowing tree sap, and you have to try and keep Lazarevic from getting it. You don't.
And he gets it anyway, and then you have to fight him in this huge, epic three-part battle.
Do you want to tell these people about
this
again?
No.
Okay. So I'm at the point where I'm battling this dude. I haven't beat him yet. But I'm hopeful that when I beat him, that I get to fuck both of these chicks. Because Nathan Drake has been through so much. I've been
blown up. He needs a three-way pronto.
He deserves a three-way with these two chicks. I'm throwing that out there. And say
he needs
what you
them
will.
To gargle his nutsack.
I would put it like that.
Well, but I
he
do.
Deserves some special treatment, I will
he
say.
He needs four titties.
Because he's been shot, blown up, stabbed, chased by helicopters.
Right. Now.
He's had to climb more things in a little bit. Like, there are some times that I've failed out of missions so bad trying to figure out where I need to go that they actually pop up a little hint and they're like, dude, just shoot this thing. And they're like, pan the camera over and show me the thing that I need to shoot so the rope will drop and I can figure out where it is I need to go. But I have jumped poor Nathan off of more cliffs than a little bit going, oh, can I jump that? Nope, that's not where I jump. But it looks like it's where I'm supposed to jump.
These girls need to bend over and take it up Brown Town.
He's been shot at by helicopters. He's been shot at by tanks. He's been shot at by utility vehicles.
The pussy of the world should put itself in front of me.
Can I finish? Are you going to let me finish? Can I finish one statement without you interrupting?
Yes.
I don't think so. Okay. So, if he doesn't get some ass at the end of this game, the next game should be an adult-rated-only game with just Nathan Drake getting ass. Because he deserves it. But I find myself really engaged. Like, the way that action things happen, a lot of times as you're climbing things or moving through, there are quick response actions that happen. Things bust through unexpectedly. Things move unexpectedly. And, you know, things aren't telegraphed in the game. And I really enjoy that about it. And it's why I've gotten so addicted to it. And the story, like I said, is really good. I am invested, as you can tell, in poor Nathan Drake's survival. Because he's a witty little character. And I just wish that there was a way to write that character as a female lead.
Good luck.
But because I don't think that Chloe would be a female lead. And, you know, before you start bringing up Lara Croft, what I would say is if you were to create a Tomb Raider game and have Lara Croft speak the exact same dialogue that Nathan Drake speaks, she would come off as a cold bitch.
Yep.
And not as a witty character that you're actually invested in succeeding. And so I don't know why that disparity is there. But it is. And I really wish that it wasn't, because I think a lot of people would buy into that game. Not just women, but males as well. I think guys are ready for a strong female lead. You know, a chick that kicks ass. Look at how well Mirror's Edge did. Okay, I think the time has come. So, I give Uncharted 2 4.5 out of 5.
Only 4.5?
I can't give it 5 because it's not the perfect game. Like, I will replay this game. I absolutely enjoy this game. But there are so many levels where it's so confusing on where I need to go.
You mean like that one where you have to climb up the swords of that giant thing so that you can get down and get to the giant mountain thingy?
No, that one I figured out just because they were really blatant about, hey, I think I have something about this in my notebook. And I looked at the statue and I looked at my notebook and I'm like, oh, I got to make the arms do the same thing about, you know. And what I'm talking about is because of either trying to be really cinematic with the camera forcing me into a view, which makes it difficult for me to land where I'm supposed to so I can climb up this side of the mountain hand over hand and then walk around this thingy that I can't see unless I'm like exactly in this pixel on the screen. There are some mechanical things that make it a little more difficult to get through some levels than it really should be. You know, it's one of those games where I felt like for some levels I really needed a guide to give me a clue as to where I was going. Even though there are clues within the game, unless you pretty much die multiple times, they don't blatantly tell you where you need to go. But if you die like 3 or 4 times, they're like, here's a hint. They're like, push here and we'll give you a hint. And you push it and they're like, shoot that box. And you're like, oh.
Oh.
How would I know to shoot that box? It's like on a ledge that I can't even see unless something tells me to look up on that ledge. Because I'm looking for something down here to get me over.
Up there.
There. But I've got to go the asinine way around.
And I have to crawl up the blind side of a bloody building.
I have to climb up a fucking temple, whereas my computer AI person, they just get to walk right across the street. Can somebody please explain this to me? Because this is some bullshit.
Yeah, I feel bad. Nathan does all the work. I love how he gets jokes about that. It's like, so we're going to do this, right? It's like, well, if you mean by we, you mean me, then yes, we are.
I died so many times at one point in time. He's like, oh, good. I get to climb this shit again. I was like, I'm sorry, Nathan. I'm trying.
Like, if there was a way that I could just phase you through this door.
I would
like,
totally glitch do
you,
that.
I would totally glitch you through the door, dude.
I would
dude.
Glitch you through the entire level if I could, Nathan. I feel that bad for you. But I can't, so we're going to have to try this shit together. Come on. But that's how I feel about the character. So that's why I rate it so high. But the mechanical things, you know, that have made it so difficult for me to get, you know, through most of the levels to figure out where I'm supposed to go inherently or to get the mechanics to work, you know, like I expect them to work. That's the only reason why I give it the half point ding. This game is great. If you have a PS3, if you enjoy action titles, you should absolutely pick it up. I recommend it highly. It will probably be the thing that I give some people for Christmas this year that I actually like that have PS3s. So it's near perfect for me. It's a near perfect experience for me. And so I'm very, very glad that you mentioned it last week because I wasn't really going to pick it up because
right.
I didn't play Uncharted 1. So I really didn't have a lot of interest in.
Do you feel like you miss out?
No, I really don't. I already have a very strong attachment to Nathan Drake, and so I don't really feel like I missed out on the back history between him and Elena in the conversation that he had with Chloe, and Chloe's like, I detect some baggage going on here. Were you two a thing? And he's like, and then Elena chimes in and she's like, yeah, last year's model. And Chloe's like, oh my goodness. You know, like, I pretty much got, you know, the thing that's going on. He's like, I would never have picked you as, like, you know, white bread, simple girl next door. And he's like, hey, you don't know how tough she is. And da 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 da. She's like, oh, she broke your little heart. You know, that's all I need to know. I got it. They had a thing. They weren't a thing anymore. And then he's like, how do you know I didn't break her heart? And you're like, dude, she totally left you. You didn't leave her. But I don't feel like I need to play the game to get that story. I've got enough of what I need to continue on and enjoy the one that I'm in. And I really appreciate that about the game. So 4.5 out of 5. Okay. Keep them coming, Naughty Dog. I can't wait for the next one, even though I haven't finished this one. But I will.
She promises.
I promise. Like, cross my heart. Hope to die. So, that's my thing. I got nothing else. Except to remind you to hit us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi.
You can check out any articles that are written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of our podcast airing each week on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. We're on at Wednesdays, and we should now officially be on between 5:30 and 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, which would be 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern time. Or okay. I could be completely wrong about that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Because their schedule's being adjusted over there, because they're moving around some of their really great shows, like Dead Pixel Live.
Or In-Game Chat.
There's TQ Cast.
Yeah. There's Gametopius.
Fantastic Forums running over there.
Video Game Outsiders is still there.
OLR's got their show over there.
Don't forget the PN Spotlight.
Yep, and Chatterbox. There's great...
Oh my god, Bobby Blackwolf show!
Oh, dude, we can't forget Bobby.
Oh my Bobby's god, you were totally about to forget the BW.
I wasn't about to forget the BW!
You should smack yourself for almost forgetting the BW.
I didn't forget the BW. I could never forget the BW. He's the man.
He's the Wolf of Blackness.
Yeah, that too. Make sure that when you come over to All Games, that you check out some of the other shows and then listen to ours as well, just in case you didn't pick it up on the podcast feed. We usually try to be in chat to talk about what the show was about and give you all of our kind of behind-the-scenes things. But if that doesn't happen, just drop us a line and say, hey, what were you thinking when you said blah, 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 blah?
Why did Pandalicious jump when she saw that movie?
Because she's a pussy. Moving on.
And you're short.
Oh, that bitch slap is about to become a knee to the groin. Through the
groin.
Make sure that you check those things out over at All Games. And if you do, let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you. Because we did.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty awesome. You can also, if you want to peek into the randomness that is us, follow us on Twitter. I can be found at twitter.com/ninjasister.
And I'm twitter.com/ladyesh.
You can also follow King Baby Duck, who is an ESH alum, at twitter.com/king_baby_duck. Or you can follow our very own Deuces Wild on Twitter at twitter.com/deuceswild. And if you want to keep up with all the news and latest, greatest things coming out of the Esh camp, you can follow our news at twitter.com/ESH News. Make sure that while you're listening to our show, that you check out the shows that King Baby Duck and Deuce serve up as well each week. So that way, you can get covered all your geeky needs till Wednesday. You got Esh on Monday, followed up by the Boston Bash Brigade podcast, which you can find at bostonbashbrigade.com. They drop their new shows on Tuesday. And then on Hump Day, you can get your game on right by listening to Geek Aggro, hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So we've got you covered for all the days of the week that you need just a little bit of extra help to get through. So that's all the business that I've got. Be on the lookout, because our calendar should be dropping pretty soon. Watch the feed, because we'll let you know when it drops, and you can buy 2 or 10 for your friends and give them away, and they're going to be awesome. What we got? So with that, I'm going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, it seems kind of toasty.
What are you going to do with your toast?
What am I going to do with my toast? I'm going to turn my toast into a turntable and make a game called DJ Toast Hero, where you toast your bread to the beat, and if you do it right, people will om-nom it, and you win.
Oh, my God.
But if you only do so well, if you only get, like, 4 pieces of bread, people will put them together like PB&J sandwiches and take them to work. So, I mean, that's awesome, but not nearly as awesome as om-nomming right then.
Okay.
What are you doing with your toast?
I'm going to take my toast and try to use it to find Shambhala. And
well,
hopefully I won't get...
those fake Yeti things. Yeti.
I'm worried about the Yeti. I don't know that my toast can stand up to the Yeti. They're kind of badass.
They're not Yetis.
So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista. She's Sportalicious.
And I'm Pandalicious. Pandalicious.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure it's Sportalicious.
Fuck you.
Aww. And we are out.
Bye.
Toodles.